Thank you so much for listening in to the Kathy Lee Parker Show. Today we're going to be talking about our taxes, how that time of the year we have to get things done, as well as how to do a better counting on our taxes, and who do we hire, and oh my gosh, and also too about the stimulus checks. You know, are we getting it, are we not? What do? We didn't get ours, and so much more. And with me on the show, I have Brian and Zach. How are you today, guys?
Great, thank you.
Gentlemen, fine. Good. And tell me the name of the company again.
Better Accounting.
Better Accounting. And you've been, and it's global, and it's international, is that correct?
National, yeah. We file taxes in all 50 states and can work remotely with anybody in the United States.
Okay, and so how long have you got, gentlemen, been doing this? How long have you been around? Now, Zach, you are the director, is that correct?
Yes.
And
so
Brian?
I head up the operations.
And Brian, you are?
I'm the tax director, so I worry about all things technical with filing taxes and everything tax related.
Good, wonderful. And you've been around for how long? 3 or 4 years?
Better Accounting has been around for 4 years. Brian and I have been with the company for, I'm coming up on almost 2 years. And Brian, I think you're about a year and a half, right, Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so you gear to businesses, small businesses to large, is that correct?
Yeah, we primarily work with small businesses, startups, up to about the mid-level. You know, businesses typically anywhere from just starting out to about $5 million in revenue.
Wow, that's a lot. And just starting out. Yeah, that's no problem. But anyway, what is your purpose? What are you trying to achieve for the business owners?
So our main focus is to help business owners see into their business. Unless you're a business owner that started an accounting firm, you probably don't know the ways to see into your business and gain visibility. And so we focus on providing visibility and then helping them understand what that means, all in an effort to see a business owner succeed. You know, we're both very passionate about small business, and we want to see them succeed and give them the tools to do so.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brian, what service does Better Accounting offer?
Yeah, so we are a full-service accounting firm in the tax and bookkeeping side of things. So all things taxes, we file annual taxes, we help with payroll, sales tax issues, things like that. As well as Zach said, the visibility side of things, making sure that clients understand their financials, making sure they can make involves and good financial decisions moving forward with the numbers that we provide to them.
Mm-hmm. And so why would I choose you over any other accounting firm?
Yeah, so we go ahead, Zach.
I was just going to say, I think it's due to our being a little more proactive. I like to tease some other CPAs in the industry that especially tax CPAs, they have you come around, bring your receipts to them in January, file taxes, and then it's kind of this unspoken thing about not talking to your clients until the following year, because the tax season ends on April 15th, and then everybody kind of goes on vacation. So we've just decided to be a little more proactive with our clients. We insist that our clients meet with us a minimum of 4 times throughout the year, because we feel it's better to tackle a situation, pretty when it's happening, in the moment, rather than wait to the end of the year and then ask, how was last year? There's not much we can do to help at that point. Mm-hmm. And so we really want to be in the moment with our clients and understand their business, their challenges, and just be a little bit of a sounding board and a resource to them for all kinds of different services they might need.
Brian and Zach, I like that. I like accounting firm that stays in touch with me, especially in business, because we're focusing on our business. We're not, taxes is like every business owner's nightmare. You know, I'd rather have somebody that I can go to and keep on top of my everyday expenses and, you know, money that's going in and out and making sure, you know, there's no flaws when it comes to the end of the year. Just like you said. Yeah.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
And how many employees do you have?
So we have 8 employees right now. We'll probably bring on 1 or 2 more later this year as we've been growing. But yeah, we have Brian heading up all the tax, and he really oversees all of the accounting. He's a genius when it comes to accounting. He has all the education in the world when it comes to taxes and what to do with accounting. And so he oversees all of that. And then we've got 5 consultants that are working with, you know, with our clients all the time. And then we've got a kind of a modest sales staff as well.
Mm-hmm. And there's something else that's on everybody's mind, that stimulus check. Is that really, I need your guys' opinion on it, Brian and Zach. Is it going to affect our taxes down the road? All that money that the government's throwing out? Need your opinion on that.
So the government has come out and said that stimulus checks will not affect your taxable income. You get the checks and it's included, but it's excluded from taxable income. So the bigger issue that we found is with regard to the Paycheck Protection Program, where originally the IRS had come out and said that if you get that Paycheck Protection Program money or PPP, that either needs to be included as taxable income or the expenses associated with that, so all the paychecks, all the wages expense would not be it would not be deductible. But they later came out and said, you know what, PPP is going to be entirely excluded from taxable income. So to this point, we've only seen that the IRS had said that any stimulus checks or PPP money will not be included as taxable income, and you will not be taxed on it.
Oh, good. So I hear that correctly. No, the PPP loan that they're going to offer for businesses, as well as the stimulus checks, we're not going to be taxed for. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. But what if you did not receive your stimulus check and you file your taxes? You did everything all the time, every year, but you never received anything. That's the complaint I hear out there. So what happens with that? I mean, some people get it and some people don't. And they're under the 75,000, you know, mark, but they're still not getting their stimulus check.
Yeah, so we've seen this situation a few times where either people don't get it, or I actually had a daughter born earlier this year, and we didn't get any of the money or the checks earlier this year because she wasn't born before the checks were issued, and the IRS didn't know that we had another dependent. But this year, when filing taxes, they're already in all the software that's out there that tax preparers use, is there's the option where it says, you enter how much you received in stimulus checks, and if that amount is less than the amount you should have received, then it will be refunded to you on your tax return. So anybody, just be sure that if you didn't get the stimulus checks and you should have, just talk to your tax preparer and they should be able to get you that money on as a refund on your tax return.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wonder, are you sure the IRS is going to give them a refund, because they haven't received the first $1,200, now the $600, now they're going to do another $1,400 soon. When do you believe the $1,400 is going to come out?
Kind of hard to say on that one. You know, we've been keeping an eye on the news every day. It's something that we're trying to stay up on. Mm-hmm. It kind of seems like they want to push it through. I know that they've taken steps to prevent prevent it from getting held up in the Senate. Mm-hmm. The Congress has already pushed it through. They've taken the steps to get it not held up in the Senate, but then they've also, it seems like there's this big focus on, you know, obviously the impeachment's the big story right now. And I don't know that they're focusing on doing them both at the same time. It kind of seems like they want to make sure they both get done, but I don't know which one they're going to focus on or get done first. So they should be coming hopefully in a few weeks. I know that everybody's worried about that, but it's just kind of waiting on the government to officially push it to the president's desk, and then he'll He's given every indication he will sign it pretty immediately, and it'll push through. So
what if
hopefully in the coming weeks?
What if you don't get the 1400 either? You know, you're not getting your 12. You didn't get your. I have somebody who did not receive their 12, their 6, and they threw their hands up in the air and said, "I probably won't even get the 1400 either." So what if you don't get anything? And you filed your 19, your 18 taxes, you know, you file every year and you still don't get nothing.
So like I was saying earlier, if you didn't get any of the stimulus checks, the 1200 or the 600 before, you can claim on your 2020 tax return that you didn't receive any of that money, and that money can, you know, be refunded to you for now. If you don't receive the $1,400 that should be coming out soon, then it's likely that you would have to wait until the next tax filing season to be able to claim that. I would just make sure that, you know, all taxes are filed. Make sure that the IRS, last time the IRS came out with a website or a link that you could click into saying, hey, I want to enter my direct deposit information into this, and you could go and do that. And then rather than getting a check in the mail, they would actually direct deposit the money to you. So there's that option as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you know what that site is? Can they go to you? Can they call you? Can you help them get it direct to, you know, get the IRS to, you know, take their, you know, be a direct deposit?
Yeah, absolutely. We can do that. Go ahead, Zach.
People can always call us, even if they just have some simple questions. You know, we're always happy to help, you know, any questions, stuff like that. The website is just, I believe it's on the IRS website under the Get My Payment section. So you go to the IRS.gov and just search in their search bar, you search for Get My Payment or Stimulus Payment or something like that, and it will bring up it'll bring up the page for that and take you right to it, and you can enter your information. And like Brian was saying, the biggest thing that we've seen people not getting their stimulus checks is there's something that the IRS is holding on to it for, either an outstanding tax return from a previous year. And in some cases, it's not just the 2019 taxes. If they missed a 2017 or a 2018, the IRS, that's kind of a red flag when these things come up, and the IRS then looks into it more, and they might withhold those stimulus checks until you complete that file. You know, everybody is obligated to file a tax return if they are working and made money. And so that's really what we've seen the biggest hold up is, you know, maybe they, you know, people say, oh, I filed my 2019 return, but I still didn't get it. Well, that might be a previous year's return that wasn't filed. They're still holding it up because of that.
What if you file your 18?
If they have, and then beyond that, then there's several other issues. You know, I think a lot of people would be wise to use the direct deposit, you know, putting in their bank account number and their routing number to the IRS, or having their refund sent to their direct deposit account, because then it's just a click of a switch for the IRS and money goes out, you know, a lot quicker rather than having to wait for a physical check, which could be lost in the mail. There was a story a few weeks ago about several checks being, or, you know, millions of checks being delivered to wrong addresses because people move, all kinds of stuff like that. There's just a number of issues that could be at play.
Oh, my word. Yeah, that's not our problem. It's the IRS. They quickly sent it out. They didn't bother to check and see if their addresses. I've heard of people getting stimulus checks just because they work in the United States. They have their big jobs, you know, they have a job and stuff, but they still don't get, they've been getting checks. What's wrong with that? That's not right. When an American citizen doesn't get one at all. Do you follow me? You know, somebody named she something, you know, and he's working here in the United States and he owns property, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going on and on. And then all of a sudden he gets a check. He's been getting the stimulus check. But then there's the gentleman over here who filed his taxes. He doesn't make much, you know, or anything, but he doesn't get anything.
Right. And it would obviously, we'd have to look into each individual case, not knowing exactly what the deal is. Those are just some of the common things that, you know, that we have seen, is that there are issues, not just on the, you know, there's some underlying issues or something else that's holding it up. But generally, the people we've worked with, if they've been current on everything, doing their direct deposit, and they qualified for the stimulus, then, you know, then they were receiving them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And can you help them? Like, can we give out your phone number and everything that they can call your office to,
absolutely,
you know, because, you know, maybe you can help them with other issues with the, yeah, you know. So what is the phone number? Yeah. Can they call? Can they call Brian? Can they call you?
Absolutely. Yeah, they absolutely can call us.
Okay. What's the number?
Yeah, our main number is 385-257-8866. That'll get you right into our office, and then they can, you know, we can schedule time, you know, to talk if you have very specific questions, stuff like that, or want some help. You know, we're still able to bring on clients right now. A lot of firms are not able to bring on new clients at this time just because it's the busiest season. We're about to start the busy season in 3 days. But yeah, we're still able to support people for sure.
In 3 days? I thought maybe it's next month. But really, in three days, you're going to be so busy?
So the IRS will start accepting returns in 3 days. You have until April 15th to file a personal return, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so, make the long story short. This is interesting. So what's your phone number again? Repeat it one more time and go really slow.
Yep, 385-257-8866.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is really good to know. And yeah, 3 days. So 3 days for the returns, right? For any returns, everything has to be filed within the next 3 days. And what if they file?
It doesn't need to be filed in 3 days. That's just when they start accepting your returns. You can start to file. You still have until April to file. It's just kind of the start of the season coming up here in 3 days.
Okay. So same thing. If you did get your stimulus check, you can still file for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and then anything else? Now, what if you owe money, and can you use part of that stimulus check to pay off the money that you may owe the IRS or your deductions or anything like that?
Are you asking if you can use a stimulus check you've already received to pay off?
No. You haven't received
tax liability.
You haven't received it yet. You haven't received your stimulus check. Can you use that to, you know, if you have you have to pay in a little, can you minus that from your taxes?
Yes, absolutely. So what happens when, if you have unclaimed stimulus check money on your tax return, it'll show up the amount that you haven't received, and then that will offset any tax liability that's owed, or if you don't owe anything, that will just show up as a refund. So it absolutely can help offset any taxes that would be owed.
That's good to know. That's really good to know. And so, Brian, are you starting to get really super busy?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two deadlines coming up here. The first is March 15th for what are called flow-through entities, partnerships and S-corporations. And then April 15th is the individual and C-corporation deadline. So things are starting to pick up. The pinch is starting to happen where people get us their books or get us their documentation, and they all want it filed before the first deadline. We're starting to feel it. So
now after the April 15th, sometimes you can do an extension on your taxes. Is that correct? Can you help out with that for those who say, hey, I don't have it all quite, but they got the ball rolling. Can you help them with that?
Yes. So, yeah, absolutely. So April 15th, individuals who don't have all of their documentation, maybe they're missing some K-1s or something like that, they can extend their return up till October 15th. But it's an extension to file. It's not an extension to pay. So what we have to do is we have to estimate if there's going to be any taxes owed by April 15th. And if we think that some taxes are going to be owed, we have the taxpayer make a payment because an extension to file is not an extension to pay. So if you file your return on October 15th and you pay your taxes, then the IRS will assess penalties and interest because they want you to pay by April 15th. So it's a bit of a guessing game as for the first deadline of April 15th, but mm-hmm. we try to get as close as we can to make sure that they pay what's going to be owed by the time you file by October 15th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one other question. Can you help a business set up an LLC if they're independent?
Yeah, absolutely. We can do that. So LLC, generally, that's the state filing. It's usually as simple as getting on the state website, filling out a little bit of information, paying the state fee, and, you know, establishing a name for the company, and then you've got an LLC. For IRS purposes, if you're a sole owner of an LLC, it's called a disregarded entity, meaning the IRS doesn't actually differentiate that between a sole proprietor. But we can certainly, you know, help people through that process of getting the LLC set up, and then we can have even further discussions about further entity structuring and what types of entity would work for them. Because LLC is a legal designation. It provides liability protection, mm-hmm. but it doesn't really change the actual legal structure of the entity, so to speak. So you're still treated as a sole proprietor, but you have that liability protection.
Hmm. What about, can you set an LLC up as a corporation?
So LLCs can mean a lot of things in the tax world. So an LLC can elect to be treated as a different type of entity, as something called an S corporation or a C corporation or a partnership. It just depends on kind of what the goal of the taxpayer is, the number of people involved within the business, and you know, what they want to do. So we can help them with those designations. A common designation is an LLC electing to be treated as an S corporation. There's some potential for payroll tax savings on that. But again, an LLC can mean a lot of things in the tax world. But, you know, initially starting out, it just is a legal liability protection for a sole proprietor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a new business that I know is going to start up in the United States, so I'm going to bring it to you guys. And because I like the fact that you can hit all the other states, because it's going to be a national company. So it's a biotech company. So this is, yeah, I'm interviewing you guys, even though it's on the air. But I just, you know, but I did heard some really good stuff out. I heard a lot of good stuff about Zach out in the networking world and in Utah here. But I was so pleased that you're national. So tell me about the difference in taxes in different states. Let's go into a commercial break and we can talk about that as we come back. How's that sound, guys?
Sounds good.
Okay, here we go. Commercial.
Hey, this is Sabrina, the owner of Math Beast EQ'd. I believe mathematics is the most important subject students should learn, but sometimes traditional schooling isn't enough. I have a classroom space in Bluffdale, Utah, or we can use Google Meet or Skype. Call me at 385-515-8600. Let's help your student become a beast at math so they can be a beast at life.
Hi, my name is Drusilla. I am the founder and owner of Drusilla's Closet. I've created a unique system to organize your pantry and kitchen. The system also works great in various parts of your home and garage. Also in my closet, I have unique furniture, art, and decor. You can find us on Facebook, Drusilla's Closet, or call at 435-224-9266.
Hey, this is Rocktop Construction. Rocktop is a family-owned business based out of Utah. We specialize in replacing worn or storm-damaged roofs and understand how to assist homeowners with property claims. For reliable service and the best value on a quality and energy-efficient roof, call Rocktop Construction at 801-567-1234. We have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Again, that's 801-567-1234 to find out more about how we can protect your home.
Thank you for tuning in with me. I'm sitting here with Brian and Zach with Better Counting Services here in Murray, Utah. The company's also international as well. Let's talk about the different states and taxes. Tell me the difference. I mean, there is different prices. So if I'm running my company here in Utah, but I do business in, let's say, Virginia, the tax laws are different. I still have to pay taxes in there, even though I don't have my foot there, but I'm doing business. Do I still have to pay taxes in those states?
Yeah, so what you're talking about is a concept called Nexus. And basically, kind of what it boils down to, generally speaking, you have to pay taxes in the state that you're domiciled or where you established your entity.
Okay.
But if you're doing business in different states, it kind of depends a little bit on how much business you're doing in different states, whether or not you're actually physically in those states with sales representatives or employees, things like that. But kind of depending on some different factors, that kind of determines whether or not you actually have to file in those states. And then from there, it's a little bit of a calculation to see, you know, of the total receipts that you have, what portion of that should be taxed in one state versus another state. So it can get a little bit tricky and complex with determining what state to file and how much tax you have to pay in those different states. But like you said, every state's got something going on a little bit different. States have different rates that you have to pay. States have different thresholds that say, okay, you should be filing in my state if you make so much money here or if you do so many online orders here. So it's really just determining what the rules are for the different states and complying with those rules.
Mm-hmm. So say that I want to repeat what you were saying to me. So if I got John Smith and I hired him and he's working in Chicago for me, and he's picking up some accounts. Now I have to file in that state because he's working there. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Interesting. So each state, so he's in Chicago or California, two different employees are picking up orders for me. I still have to file in those states. Now, is it state taxes or how do I file that? Or is it still?
Yeah, so it depends a little bit on the entity type, but generally speaking, you've got your federal tax return for your business or individual that you're paying federal taxes on. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you make a determination of which states you should be filing. And so depending on whatever software you're using, you just say, hey, I did business in these states. It's not separate filings. We all kind of, when we actually go to file the tax return, it all goes out at the same time, the federal tax return and the state tax return. So they're all kind of tied together a little bit. It's not an entirely separate filing. It's all kind of one consolidated filing. Mm-hmm.
So the federal government's all in one, and then I file for each state. So the state gets the piece of, you know, if I, you know, have somebody there and he's working for my company, then I have to file for that state. Is that correct?
Right, right. Okay. But within the tax software that we use, and you know, most every CPA uses, it's a difference of clicking on one or two or three different states and then just figuring out what amount of, you know, apportioned income goes to those different states. So it's adding new states isn't this entirely separate filing. It just adds to the filing that we're already doing.
Interesting. That's good to know. And I like the fact that you're one company, one business there that I need. I don't have to go out and find a different tax person for each state. That's so good to know, especially if you're starting up. There's a company that it's going to be coming here in the United States. It's a biotech company, and they're going to be is bioreactors, and they're going to be selling in different states. So got to stay on top of that. So I think I'll be sending them your way. But anyway, help set up I'll probably be coming to see you a little bit sooner to set up the LLC, because I don't know which way to go. Should I go an LLC, you know, an S corp? Should I start off just regular LLC and then do an S corp later? You know, because there's going to be kind of quite a few people on board as directors. You can help me set it up so I know what I'm doing. that's a whole new, you know, it's interesting because everybody in business, they love what they do, you know, from a cookie cutter to, you know, making clothes, selling clothes or whatever they do. They're so good at what they're doing. But when it comes to all this taxes, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go under by paying so much taxes. So do you really help them save? You know, would you, you know, instead of paying so much to the IRS?
We do. Yeah. A big thing that we like to focus on, and really the value I think that we bring is in the tax planning, you know, tax preparing. And that's just the part of it. That's kind of what we have to do. But the really smart play is to get into tax planning and start to look at ways that, you know, you can, if your goal is to minimize your taxes, which I'd say that's probably the more common goal, but that's not everybody's goal. There are reasons why some businesses have to keep income in the business and to, for various reasons. And that generally means they got to pay a little more in taxes. So we like to figure out what our client's goal is, what they're trying to achieve. And then we tailor a tax plan and you know, kind of a business plan around that to help them reach that goal. So the planning really becomes the value part of the whole deal. And Brian's really great at sitting down with them, understanding what they want to do. And then we can make some recommendations on what to do with, you know, they're getting towards the end of the year. They made a lot of money. Do they want to reduce that tax bill? What can we do from there?
Yeah. The main thing is to reduce that tax bill. So say for example, if I have, you know, an online business, what about these customers who have businesses who have online businesses? And just because they sell in Florida, do they have to pay taxes on that, on every state that buys from them?
Yeah, so that kind of goes back to the concept I was talking about earlier called Nexus, which basically, and I thought about bringing up this example earlier, where there are a lot of online stores, and you may not be actually present in other states, but you might be selling to customers in other states. And what the states have said is generally they set a threshold saying if you have either 200 orders or $100,000 sold to customers in our state, then that becomes the time where you need to start actually filing in our state and, you know, filing the income tax return. And then the other question is whether or not they should be collecting sales tax. So sales tax isn't actually a tax that the business owners have to pay. Sales tax is just collected from customers and then remitted to the states, but there's still administrative processes there that have to be done, and you know, the returns still have to be filed, but there's the sales tax component if you're selling tangible goods, and then if you reach certain income levels in different states, that's when you'd have to start looking at income tax filings in the other states. So, you know, different things to worry about if you're selling online.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, they try to nail you even every way they can when you do a business. It's you know, got to keep your toes out of the water. You know, it's interesting, but it's also fun. I mean, there are people who love hobbies. They, you know, and then the next, you know, that hobby becomes so big and, you know, they need somebody who can help keep their taxes so they don't get into hot water with the IRS.
Yeah. And along those lines on taxes, you know, I think that people, you know, generally everybody hates paying taxes and everything like that, but they do serve a purpose in, you know, in our world. And the biggest thing is to understand what your options are. You know, if you own a business, yeah, there's going to be a lot of ways they want to tax you, but there's also a lot of ways that you can work on your tax position, and there's a lot of things you can do. And I think the government truly does understand how hard it is to be a small business owner, especially. And they do offer ways, if you look for them, to help your position. And so it's really just about finding all the things you can do. And it takes a little bit of work, but you you find all the little tricks and the different strategies that you can come up with to maximize your tax position and make it as best as possible. It is a fact of life that we have to pay taxes, but you can at least make it, put yourself in the best position as possible.
Mm-hmm. What about write-offs or tax deductions? Now, say that I hired John Smith in Chicago, and I'm paying him a salary plus commission. Now, is that a tax deduction for me when I'm paying him?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be wages expenses that would be definitely deductible on your taxes. So, one thing that we work a lot with on business owners, small business owners, is record keeping, because that's going to be generally the biggest source of deductions that you're going to get as things that you're doing as you're going about your daily business life. It's keeping track of your miles, it's keeping track of all the office supplies that you buy, keeping track of the meals that you have when you go out to take clients out for lunch or whatever it is. So it kind of goes back to the visibility side of things. But again, the best way to make sure you're getting as many write-offs as possible is just keeping good records and making sure that every time you pull out your credit card to buy something related to the business, that you're keeping track of that. One of the easiest ways to do that is to open up a separate bank account specifically for the business, and that way you can go in and look at your bank statements and look at all the business expenses that you've had.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to mix business with personal money. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's kind of the easiest way for the IRS to step in and start disallowing deductions is if you've commingled your personal and business assets. So to the extent that it's possible, separating those two out keeps you, insulated from the IRS, and it makes sure that you're capturing all the business deductions as possible. A common problem that we have at this time of year is someone comes to us and says, hey, I want you to file taxes for my small business. And I say, okay, give me all the business expenses. And they give me a bunch of bank statements of their personal bank statements. And they say, okay, well, I spent money here and there on the business, and I have no way of knowing what was a business expense and what wasn't. And generally the taxpayer doesn't either. So it just becomes a guessing game. So keeping those separated is paramount to getting your maximum tax deductions.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. You mix business with personal. That's like, no, no, no. I mean, it's right. Well, it's also common sense too. I mean, do you really want to mix your personal with business? And this is with small business. This is what I've seen out there, because I did advertising and marketing. And I noticed that they do have a tendency, some of the small businesses, mix their personal with their business. And, or so say, for example, they made $100 off of this, sell or whatever. But they have to realize that $100 has to go into the business, and a small percent goes to you. Do you know what I mean? You just got to sacrifice. That's so sad in business today. You got to learn to sacrifice a little bit, and until it gets going, that you make, $1,000 a day. You know what I mean? Off of your sales.
For sure. No, we've run into issues before, especially people in construction or contractors, where they get big sums of money coming into the bank, and they say, oh, I got all this money coming in, but most of that money is already earmarked for subcontractors or other expenses, and it becomes very tempting for them to want to pull all that money out. But they, like you said, have to have a certain degree of sacrifice and self-restraint in order to keep the money in the business.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. You look at those dollars and like, dang, wish that was mine, but it's not. It's not yours. It goes to the override. But anyway, but it looks good. But it still makes you look good too. You get better loans. You get better, credit. You can use to build your company. But it's quite fascinating how the structure is. And I like the fact that when we talked about the different states, because I had some concern on my mind with this company that's coming in, that, the structure of different states, when you hire somebody in Chicago or New York, what do I do with that? So it's kind of like, I mean, I'm the type of person, I just know my business. When it gets into other stuff, it's like, oh my gosh, that's where I need to rap at your door and say, help me. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of business owners, they know what their product and service they provide. You know, I use the example of, you know, Brian said a contractor or an electrician. I know a lot of electricians and they all are great at what they do. They're good at, you know, wiring houses or performing electrical, you know, construction. But that the taxes and the accounting part is that they didn't go to school for that. They don't know that part of it unless they've just experienced it or gone through it the hard way, their whole career.
Right. And had to, but they just have to find an accounting person that they can trust. That's the key, is to trust that they're, I'm not paying so much to the IRS or Social Security and all this other stuff. And so when I say for example, I hired you and I have you on a continuing basis year after year. Now your fees, I can use as a deduction my next year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Interesting. That's so good. Now I noticed too that, say for example, if I go to the gym and I'm working out and everything, can I use my gym membership as a write-off or for like health? I know somebody mentioned that.
It kind of depends. The deductibility of certain expenses like this that are inherently both business and personal can get a little bit tricky, but say the business pays for a gym membership for health and wellness for their employees. I think that would be a good write-off, but I think if you're just a sole proprietor and you're running a business, but then you want to go stay healthy, so you go get a gym membership, that case, I don't think you have a strong case for a tax write-off there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But say, for example, okay, that's understandable. I agree with that. Okay. And then what about if I started to, so if I hire, you know, this corporation comes into United States, this biotech company, and we do a gym membership for our employees. We do, you know, and then we give them, like a chat, expensive card, you know, what do you call those cards that you put money in to keep them, you know, if they need to go to dinner, lunch, and stuff like that. Would that be a write-off for my company too, if I give them so much money a month?
Yeah, generally per diems are tax deductible. It becomes a little bit tricky when you bring meals into the equation. The IRS has said that meals are generally only 50% deductible just because there's an element of personal along with the business side of things. But generally speaking, employee expenses, you know, petty cash, whatever the per diem is generally going to be tax deductible for the business.
Tax deductible. So, yeah, okay. So I'm going to repeat this one more time. So if I have a, you know, expense card for my John Smith in Chicago so that he can do some traveling with it, that he can get from client to client, I give him so much a month to, on a, you know what I mean, on a regular basis, like so much, a limit, like $500 or something. To help him. Now that would be a tax deduction for my business, right?
Correct. Yes.
For me, because I'm, you know, so he can get to one client to the next. Interesting. That's good to know. That's good to know because we're going to provide that. And that's good to know. And then everything that we do, like loans or line of credit, now the interest and all that stuff can be to tax deduction. Is that correct?
Correct. The interest portion is tax deductible.
Okay. What about a business car? Like, does it have to be a lease or can you buy it straight out and use it as a tax deduction? What can I do with my vehicles?
There's a couple of things you can do with the car, but generally speaking, the greatest deduction you're going to get is if you if you lease the car, you can just deduct these expenses as you incur them. If you go out and buy the car, you can. There's depreciation rules that state that depending on the type of car, you can deduct a large portion, or you know, if it's a truck or bigger, you can deduct the entire amount in the year that you actually buy it. So this is where the tax laws are a little bit different than typical accounting rules with depreciation, where they have something called bonus depreciation or 179 depreciation, which basically means that you can get accelerated depreciation on fixed assets that wasn't available before.
Mm-hmm. I just say, because I know somebody who sells Mercedes, and he said they can't do it anymore. They can't do the lease on the business. I'm like, what? You know what I mean? If you're using it for transportation for the company, you can't use company cars.
Interesting. I'd have to look to dive into this specific case and kind of see what's going on there. I don't know that I can offer an opinion without knowing all the facts on this one, but generally speaking, you know, automobile expenses are one of the line items on a tax return that's one of the most common that I see. So generally speaking, if you've got a vehicle you're using for business, it's going to be tax deductible.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And what about the medium business, well, small to medium, too? So what you're saying, if they get a truck and they're using it for their business, 100%, because I see people use 100%, or they get a SUV and they're using it 100%. They got logos on it. They got it all decked out, you know, for their business. And that can be pretty much 80% write-off.
Yeah, so there's like the 6,000 pound rule that the IRS uses. If your vehicle is more than 6,000 pounds, then generally you can deduct the entire amount. What the IRS has is rules in place that say, you know, if you go out and buy a $50,000 Lexus, a comparable Chevy Cobalt would do the same job, right? It's still just a sedan that it's called a luxury vehicle. They have luxury auto rules that say you're only allowed to deduct so much of that just because you spent so much money on something that, other than transporting people around, doesn't have any functional purpose. So if you buy a vehicle that's in excess of 6,000 pounds, the IRS no longer says that this could be considered a luxury vehicle, and then it's just deemed to be a work vehicle. And that's when those luxury vehicle rules wouldn't apply anymore, and that's when you can get the higher deductibility of the depreciation on those.
Not even if you're incorporated or anything like that, you still have to follow those same rules. Is that correct?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, well, that's good to know, because I see a lot of cars that are wrapped, you know, 100%. They look beautiful and everything. There's some are really cute little cars, and they're all wrapped. So that would be a certain percent of deduction. Is that correct?
Right.
So they can't use 100% of it, even if they do. Even if they do have it all wrapped and looks awesome, you know, like a pizza car with pizza on it. You know what I mean? And it's a cute little bug. You know what I mean? And the person's driving around in it. So that cannot be used 100% write-off. Is that correct?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on what the full extent of the expenses were and how much the actual car was and that sort of thing. So the actual price of the car and whether or not it seemed to be a luxury car, those sorts of things all come into play here. So the actual deductibility of the vehicle kind of depends on the facts and circumstances of the specific vehicle.
Right, right. Because I see like Godfather's Pizza, you know, they got the Godfather thing on the top and they have it all wrapped around, and it was a cute little car. So I'm sure they have something worked out, but you know, I don't see that as a luxury car.
Well, right.
There's
right.
No way. I won't go to a funeral or something. Not, you know what I mean? Or a wedding.
Right. And the deductibility of that depends too on how much the actual vehicle is used for business or personal reasons. Right. So I can't see somebody driving around a pizza car all that much for personal reasons, but there's generally some element of that as well. And that kind of determines the deductibility of the depreciation on that as well.
Mm-hmm. One other question that I missed here. Why is counting so important? Brian, why is accounting so important?
Yeah, so accounting is so important because it helps you make informed decisions. A lot of times people just kind of wing it and they have no idea what's happening in their business. They have no idea how much they're spending every month. They generally have a pretty good idea of how much is coming in, but accounting really just kind of gives you insight into what's happening in the business. Kind of, you can see all the nuts and bolts of what's going on, seeing what's happening. You know, you can drill down even to the day of what's happening within a company. So keeping good accounting records will help you know what's happening in your business. It'll help you maximize the amount of tax write-offs you can have to minimize your tax liability. It helps you make decisions moving forward into the future. If you have good accounting numbers, you can do good financial projections to say, here's where I want to be in 1, 2, 5 years. You can see what steps would be needed to get there. You can see what your margins are on your products. You can see how well, you know, your employees are doing as far as how much money they're bringing in or how much time they're actually utilizing, things like that. So it's really about visibility. It's really about just being able to look at your business in a way that you weren't able to before. So keeping good accounting records is definitely paramount to understanding your business and understanding how to grow your business.
Mm-hmm. What if I hire myself? Would my income be a tax deduction?
Say that one more time.
If I hired myself, you know, I'm on the payroll. Is my income a tax deduction?
Yeah, so it depends a little bit on the entity type that you have, but the wages that you pay yourself would be a tax deduction for the business.
Right.
But then when you filed your individual tax return, you would have to pick up those wages as income on that individual side.
Okay, that's understandable. I'm just looking at the company. And then, so this is really good to know. You gave me a lot of info. And what about, do you have the software? Do you have a software for your business that, so say that I come on board and you have a software for me to follow, to keep my records, to keep my books straight?
Yes. So we typically just, we recommend QuickBooks just because it's simple. It's very affordable. But we can work with any software that any of our clients want to work with. You know, Xero is a popular one. You know, there's a lot of different ones. There's some free options now that are online. We can work with those. QuickBooks tends to be the best, most user-friendly for a business that's starting out. And then as you get to a certain level, you need to graduate usually into a more robust platform. But QuickBooks is probably the most common.
Again, the QuickBook, how much, how can it hold? I mean, can it hold a lot of info to, when should I be ready to move up to the next level?
I think that really depends on the type of business. You know, a business that is a manufacturing company or that's holding a lot of inventory, they might move a little bit faster from QuickBooks than others. Mm-hmm. You know, just because they want an inventory specific program that can help them track inventory and parts and all of that. So, you know, that might be something there. If it's a service-based company, you know, QuickBooks probably could take you all the way up to, you know, to very late stages of your business until you're bringing on, you know, multiple people and getting really robust there. It just kind of depends on the business type.
Okay, that's good to know. And so tell me, what is the best tax advice you would give to a business owner?
I think the best tax advice I'd give to somebody is if you're looking to start a business, start early by talking to a tax professional. Ask them about what entity structure would be best for them, what the implications of their business would be as far as different types of tax for income tax, sales tax, payroll tax, all of that. If you get all the right systems set up in place, when you start your business, it becomes so much easier moving forward to have good financial visibility and stay on top of all the compliance stuff for taxes. A lot of what we get is people coming in whose books haven't been kept very well and they're behind on their taxes and they've been given bad advice and they've been doing things incorrectly, and all that, you know, the big fix would have been if they still, when they started their business, if they went to somebody that they trusted and gave them good advice, that all these problems wouldn't have ever risen in the first place. So again, if you start looking to start a business, just start talking early to a tax advisor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Zach, tell me what you would like to give out to my audience, how they can get a hold of you too.
Yeah, definitely. So we gave the number before, but I can give it again there.
Okay.
It's 385-257-8866. They can also check out our website. It's betteraccounting.com, betteraccounting.com. And then on there, you know, we have a lot of information on there just about taxes and about accounting, some of the other services we also provide. We were able to look into business insurance and some, you know, looking for business owners, some planning long-term for retirement and kind of what that looks like for them as well. So we have a lot of resources on our website, and then they can always contact us from there as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I want to thank both of you gentlemen for coming on my show, Brian and Zach with Better Counting. Thank you so much, and you guys have a great day, and hopefully to hear more about your taxes in the future as you grow.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening in to the Kathy Lee Parker Show. And for any other questions, please contact me by email. That would be Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y-L-E-E, Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, @live.com. And thank you so much, and have a great day.